This is Northwest Orbit on Space 101.1. Thanks for listening to our interview with Seattle's sparkly pop rock band, Instant Crush. This is part 3 and our last of the chats with Instant Crush. If you missed the first two portions of the interview, they are available on space101fm.org. Today, the band talks about their upcoming album, opening for Plain White Tees, live performances, and what's next for the band. Here's Megan talking about the album due for release this summer.
The album's called I'm Sorry I Didn't Bite My Tongue, and yeah.
And is where does that title come from? It is a song title or a lyric somewhere in there?
It's not in there lyrically. I just remember it was the last song we wrote for the album was that one called All Your Friends, and I was like making jokes about it to myself. I was like, I should have bit my tongue on that one, but then I was like, wait, it makes sense now. I was like, the whole album came to me, and then I just kind of went from that point on, and we were like, yeah, this is an album.
Yeah, the censoring of feelings is no longer so.
Kind of a tangent, but y'all opened for Plain White Tees earlier this year. Is that the biggest opening slot you guys have had?
Yes, and yeah, it was so awesome.
That was amazing. Yeah, I'm sure each of you guys had... Zoe, were you stuck backstage, or could you mingle that
show? I was able to go out. Yeah, I watched Plain White Tees. I saw Delilah.
Yeah. We said hey there to Delilah, and it was awesome.
Yeah, tell me about... I imagine so many local bands would kill for that opportunity, and you guys got to do it.
Dude, yeah, it was so cool, especially because there was no actual Seattle date. It was in Spokane and Portland, which was just really cool to go drive to these cities and then connect with so many people who wouldn't have heard of us any other way, especially because, I don't know, we're just so small. And then they put us on a big stage, and then it was cool to have everybody actually like us, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
I was scared.
It was... They were bigger crowds for us, for sure, so there was some intimidation factor there, but it was a huge honor that we got picked to do those dates with them. And Plain White Tee is like, you know, a lot of people remember the one song, Hey There Delilah, but we watched their set a couple times, and I was surprised by how much of their set I knew. Like, you know the words to, like, all these songs, and you just totally forgot about it, but for them to have so many hits and have the careers that they've had and then pick us to be the opener, it was a huge honor, and it was really fun to go out and do that.
Mm-hmm. It was a great time. And then, like, being able to look at it from a, like, big picture view, it's like, you know, I've been hearing these songs since I was a kid, and then you see their special on iCarly, and then you grow up and you're never thinking you're going to be on a stage with this band, right? Yeah. So it's just, it's a bit surreal.
Let alone talking to them in the green room. They're all really sweet.
Yeah, they're so kind.
They were such a nice group of guys. It was, and the other band that opened, Pollyanna, was super incredible as well. And they were lovely to meet and share a bill with.
Yeah, they're really cool. They're from the Northeast, from like New Jersey, I think.
Yeah.
So we really would not have had a chance to meet them otherwise, because they're just so far. We're like opposite sides of the country, but having this short part of the tour to connect with them was really cool and special.
Mm-hmm.
I asked the band about their perspective playing live. For having such a produced sound on the record, do they try to make their live shows true to the album, or let the live performances be their own thing, not necessarily trying to sound like the record?
I try to bring in as much of the production as possible. We do like run synth tracks because there is a lot of synth production in our stuff, and I think it's important. So the things that I deem like really necessary for the song, usually we play along with it because we do play along to a metronome, so we just throw those in there.
Yeah, I think when we add a new one to the set, anytime we add a new one to the set, we are trying to play as accurate to the recording as possible when we start off. And naturally, as we get more and more comfortable with it and we do more shows with it, it will just kind of become more of the live thing, and then we'll have our own little flair to it, just because that's naturally what happens after you get super, super comfortable with it. You start, you know, being really comfortable with autopiloting a little bit, and then your natural musicianship will kind of just bleed onto the song. And that's what happens over time. But in the beginning, it's pretty accurate to how it is on the record.
And no tech mishaps with the playback yet?
Oh, with the with like backing tracks?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, we have, you know. We've had some mishaps.
Well, I was going to say, being a quote-unquote smaller band, not every venue. Just like, you get bad sound guys at venues who aren't going to,
Definitely. Small bar venues get really intimidated by like all the technology, I guess. Which is something, like, I haven't really run into that in a while. But I would definitely, like, I would lose some sleep over some gigs where I'm like, I don't know if they're going to have all the gear needed just to run this little pad. It's a really simple device, really. But, yes, lately it's been smooth sailing, but we've had some problems.
To play house shows?
Yeah. Some DIY
house shows
stuff
are tough. When you're running that. And normally, it just depends on the sound system that they got, though. We haven't run into too many problems, though.
I think the worst scenario we had was a DIY show in LA, and we had to run our backing tracks through an extra bass amp.
Oh. Yeah, that was wild.
Because
we were thinking of different stories, but that one was wild. Yeah.
Yeah, not with this group, but another group I was playing with that also uses tracks. We were running them off of an SPD drum pad, and we're on tour, and everything was going great, and this is the last show of tour. We do our sound check, and right after sound check is done, the pad no longer turns on. And with this group at the time, we had no live bassist, so we were like really depending on this to work out. And I freaked out like a way more than I thought I would, because in that moment we were really exposed to how much we depended on this little pad. And luckily, I brought a backup, like a second one, because I just am anxious and I thought that would happen. Ever since then, I was like, I don't know, technology's nice, but nothing really replaces the real thing.
Right.
Yeah, it's not always smooth sailing, that's for sure.
The band then talked about advice they'd give to others like them.
I think it's just being as friendly as possible. A lot of the time, I don't think it gets overlooked necessarily, but I think especially when connecting with other artists, especially out-of-state ones, you just want to make friends with as many people as you can. And I think that does more than like anything else. Especially when it comes to other opportunities too. Like a lot of times people remember, they're like, oh, that one band was nice to me once. They're like, let's have them on our date of tour or something. And I think that's kind of been the most important thing for me. I just like to be a friend first without like, I don't know, without any expectations. I just like to be friendly and just talk to everyone. I love music and I love people that make music. So I'm like, you're great.
Hey, it's a community thing, like we were saying earlier. So
yeah.
Just like forming those connections is a huge part of why we enjoy it in the first place. And you got to remember that as you're going through it all.
Mm-hmm.
One for me that I've been hearing a lot more recently is that the progress in doing music can be a very slow burn. When you're younger and you think about like making it in music or whatever, at least to me, and I think a lot of other musicians, we imagine it as like there'll be a break and we'll just like boom, be famous one day. And that's what we were trying to shoot for. And a lot of the like bigger artists that I look up to and have been very privileged to meet are reminding us like it's a lot of work. It takes a lot of time. It's a slow burn. There will be a lot of failure, but you know, progress is progress, and you shouldn't really be expecting it to just break and one day you wake up and everything is awesome and perfect, because that's probably not going to happen.
Yeah, most of my favorite bands took like 10 years to get to where they are now. So
sick. And last question, what is next for Instant Crush, and what haven't you guys done that you really want to accomplish?
I want to tour as much as possible. That's probably the main one, is just saying yes to anything that we get and just playing as many shows as we can.
Yeah, just a lot more traveling. I think something that isn't on the planner for us right now, but I'd love to do, is to play in other countries.
Yeah.
To play like in Europe and stuff. So
be a great time. Get to travel.
That would really, yeah, really feel like traveling. We've played in tons of different states, but it gets really real when you're like South America or something. You see, like, yeah. Plain White Tees was in Brazil, and we saw some of those crowds. They played festivals in Brazil, and that's crazy. Like, we have some fans from other countries, like, online.
Somebody Australia. Tweeted us the other day, and they were like, if you don't come to Brazil, we'll make Brazil come to you. Yeah. And I was like, that's a fun, like, threat.
I want to make that happen. We had someone join our Discord who's from Germany.
Yeah.
And just, like, one, every now and then we'll meet someone online from a different country, and I'm like, I want to come and play in your country, but we're just a tiny band with no money right now. So one day.
I asked the band about one of my favorite songs by them, A Cinematic Exit.
I feel like there's a live energy that is brought by that song, and I think playing it live is really incredible. That was one that I did do most of the recording by myself on, but that song was a very big point of anger to me. It kind of has a funny story. I was in LA by myself, and I went to a writing session with a producer, Mike Pepe, and Matthew Marino was another writer in the room. And I was like, hey guys, sorry, I'm going to be late. I got pulled over that day after the car I was driving already broke down that week. And I was so mad that I got pulled over because I already, like, got stranded once. And I was like, damn, none of my bandmates are here. They're coming in like 2 or 3 days, I think. It was like right before y'all were there.
Yeah, and we showed up and she was all stressed out.
And I was just so sad and alone. And I was like, I'm going to make something wild. And that's what A Cinematic Exit was.
And can you tell me, you're super frustrated, you write this song, and it's a cathartic relief for you. What do you feel when you get that energy out into a song?
It definitely does feel like relief, like, especially when it comes to the stress, like, having something that you can play. One, it was just, like, over the speakers, and then, like, live later on, where you're just really screaming and letting it all out. It's nice. I, like, had never really done that before, so it was really cool to get that song. I was like, yeah.
And now, here's A Cinematic Exit by Instant Crush. Smoking weed, need to cover myself in kerosene. The salt and wounded watch me bleed all over the dress I kept so clean. It is so goddamn selfish. Gosh, just shake off from Craigslist. Oh, I just can't help it. Was looking for a cinematic exit. I had everything I've been trying. Had seen a clip. God damn it, so fun. God damn.